Hey, what's up, Cub fans? Welcome to episode 87 of Locked On Cubs, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm your host, Ryan Davis of the Sporting News, Athletic, CubsInsider.com, Bet Chicago, and the Cloud City Chronicle. And I'll be talking to you about last night's loss against the Brewers. And then we'll talk a little bit about some of the suggestions I got about things that fans wanted me to talk about in the second segment. And then finally, we'll talk in the second segment about how some former Cubs are doing. And then we'll finish out with a third segment around the NL Central. So diving right in, the Cubs lost the middle game of the series with the Brewers 4-0 last night. Chase Anderson bounced back from some recent poor play, throwing 7 shutout innings and allowing just 1 hit to the Cubs. In total, the Cubs actually only had 2 hits in this game, and none of them were extra base hits against the Brewers. So Tyler Chatwood got in trouble early. He allowed 2 runs in the first, 2 runs in the third. He didn't necessarily get hit hard, though. He completely botched a rundown, which was, I mean, in retrospect, it's kind of funny. Like, what was he doing? He committed a throwing error, and then, you know, 5 innings allowed 4 earned runs, but he only walked 2 batters. So it was just somewhat of an erratic game pitching, but it wasn't his worst effort. He threw, 97 pitches. He got through 5, which is really what his most important role is not burning out the bullpen. It just wasn't good enough, though. With Yu Darvish still maybe a few weeks away from returning to the rotation, it seems as though the Cubs are content to throw him out there every 5th day for now. The Cubs will play the Brewers in the finale of this series today at 1:10 p.m. Central Time, and that'll be broadcast on WGN. Mike Montgomery will take on Juli Chacín, who has been really good for the Brewers this year. Chacín has a 3.58 ERA in 75 and a third innings this season, and a 2.81 ERA in his last 7 starts. Mike Montgomery has allowed 11 hits, 2 walks, and 2 earned runs in 17 and two-thirds innings as a starter with the Cubs, and he went 95 pitches in his last start against the Pirates, so it means he should be completely stretched out. So for segment 2, I do this occasionally. I tossed it out there on Twitter. What do you guys want me to talk about? I got a couple decent suggestions. First person said that he wanted me to talk about how the Cubs randomly suck against mediocre starters. The second suggestion I got was to talk about options for Tyler Chatwood. And the third suggestion I got was to talk about Chatwood not knowing how to do a rundown. So going to the middle one here first, talking about options for Tyler Chatwood, I kind of covered that in the first segment a little bit. Darvish will be back in a few weeks, the Cubs believe, and I think they would be foolish to move Mike Montgomery out of the rotation at that point. If Adbert Alzolay weren't injured, I could see a strong argument for a phantom DL stint for Chatwood right now to bring up their top pitching prospect, but Alzolay is out with a lat strain and probably won't return until after the All-Star break. I'd be a fan of bringing up Duane Underwood for a start or two, but that hasn't happened yet, so I'm not sure it will. So I'm going to go with my initial gut instinct. As much as I don't really like it, I think that they're going to stick with Chatwood in the rotation at least until Darvish gets back, and at that point they'll evaluate. As far as Chatwood not knowing how to execute a rundown, I have no clue what happened there. He ran the runner back to the base. It didn't look like he ever intended to throw it. Maybe he didn't have a good throwing angle. Maybe, the player at second base wasn't ready for a throw. I don't know. What was he thinking? He was just going to chase the runner down and tag him? Did he get confused as to how many runners were on base, thinking that if the runner went back to second, he could tag him there and he'd be out? I don't know. I have no idea what Chatwood was thinking there. Finally, the Cubs sucking against random mediocre pitchers. The fact is that they've consistently struggled with Chase Anderson. He has thrown 4 straight quality starts against the Cubs in his career. And this season alone, he has thrown 14 innings with 6 hits allowed and 1 earned run against the Cubs. That's not even to mention the fact that Anderson came into this season as Milwaukee's number 1 starter and has a 3.21 ERA in 38 starts going back to the start of last season. So it's not exactly fair to lump him into the mediocre category. And really, when you've got Tyler Chatwood, who has struggled all season, going up against Chase Anderson, who is supposed to be the Brewers' best starting pitcher. I think you throw out what the ERAs say. I know Chatwood had a lower ERA going into the game. You throw that out and say the Brewers have every advantage here. And they did. Anderson pitched better, and Chatwood did what Chatwood does, and the Cubs lost. So let's go ahead and look at how some of these former Cubs are doing. Dexter Fowler, still having a brutal season for the Cardinals. He has a 559 OPS in 213 plate appearances with a negative 1.3 WAR. Ugh. Jorge Soler has come down a bit since his hot start. He's now hitting 263 with a 352 on base, a 465 slugging. That's an 817 OPS with 9 home runs. Jaimer Candelario, the Tigers' third baseman, has an 845 OPS with 10 home runs, totaling 1.9 WAR this year. Jason Hamill, the 35-year-old, has started 13 games for the Royals and has a 512 ERA with a league-worst 90 hits allowed in 77 and a third innings pitched. Remember Adam Warren? This guy has continued to be one of the best relievers in baseball since the Cubs traded him back to the New York Yankees. He has only thrown 10 and a third innings due to a long DL stint this year, but he's back on the mound now, and he has a 2.38 ERA in 68 innings since the start of the 2017 season. Starlin Castro's home run power has dropped off for some reason this year. Probably has to do with going from the Yankees to the Marlins, but he's hitting 2.88. He has a 3.35 on base and a lower 3.97 slugging for Miami. The former Cubs closer, Hector Rondon, is now the Houston Astros closer. He has a 150 ERA in 24 innings this year with 29 strikeouts and just 5 walks. Looking back on it, maybe the Cubs would have been wise to not cut Hector Rondon off the roster and maybe cut Justin Grimm loose instead, offer Rondon arbitration and bring him back. But you know, hindsight's 2020, I guess. The reason it was all done was monetary. Rondon was going to get more in arbitration than Grimm was, and the Cubs felt more comfortable giving Justin Grimm a tryout in spring training and then cutting him loose if he didn't make it onto the roster. Trevor Cahill is back in Oakland where his career started. He has a 2.77 ERA and 8 starts for the A's this year. And finally, Wade Davis, the former Cubs closer, leads the National League in saves with 20, but he also has 3 blown saves for the Rockies and has a 3.42 ERA and a 3.82 FIP on the season. So around the NL Central, we know that the Brewers beat the Cubs, but here's what happened with the rest of the NL Central last night. The Cardinals lost at home to the San Diego Padres by a score of 4-2. Miles Michaelis gave up 3 earned runs in his 6 innings of work. The Pirates put up a fight after falling behind early 6-0 to the Arizona Diamondbacks, but they lost again 13-8. Clay Buchholz, yes, that Clay Buchholz. He started for the Arizona Diamondbacks and allowed 5 earned runs in 4 innings. Our old friend John Jay, homeward for the Diamondbacks. The Reds went on the road and beat the Kansas City Royals 5-1, and that's all that's interesting about that game. So here is the updated NL Central standings. The Brewers teeter-totter back into first place by a half game over the Cubs, now 40-27. The Cubs are 38-26 and still have the fewest losses of any team in the National League. The Cardinals are 3 games out of first place at 36-29. The Pirates are now 8 back at 32-35. And the Reds are 16 back at 24-43. So that's it for this podcast. The Cubs play again today at 1:10. So hopefully you've listened to this already on your lunch break. I know some of you probably listened to it on your ride home after work, which is totally fine. But the Cubs will have already played by then. At any rate, thanks for listening. This has been episode 87 of Locked On Cubs. You can find me on Twitter, if you're so inclined, at Ryan Q. Davis, which is where I post all of my work. Bet Chicago is up and running, so if you're interested in fantasy sports or betting lines, sports gambling, that kind of thing, head there and you can check out what they have going on. Or if you just want regular Cubs stuff, you can check it out for me. From my perspective, I won't be doing necessarily betting slanted stuff, but I have one story, for example, that I wrote on Yu Darvish and Jake Arrieta earlier, I think this week, that went up. So check that out. I feel like that's worth reading. It's kind of anti-hot take. I kind of took a couple people who have been fanning some flames to task without mentioning their names, of course. So check that out. You can also find, if you're interested in non-baseball and nerdy stuff, you can check out the Cloud City Chronicle. That's where I put a whole lot of like Star Wars and Marvel and other stuff that I write. So give that a look as well. You can follow the Twitter account at Locked On Cubs, and you can also email us any questions or comments at lockedoncubs@gmail.com. And I want to say thank you again to all of you guys who have been listening, especially the ones who've been with me from the start. I know I've been trying to improve this podcast, sound quality, the style, the cadence, everything about this, I'm trying to make better. So please feel free to send along those suggestions at the email, lockedoncubs@gmail.com. And then if you're so inclined, go on iTunes and leave me a really nice review. You can throw 4 or 5 stars on there and give me a few words of, I guess, positivity, and let me know that you like what you hear, because the more positive reviews we get on iTunes, the more visible it gets. The more visible we are means more people listen, and more people listen means the more I can do with this podcast, because I'll make more money. And money isn't the number one thing. I'll make sure everyone knows that. I'm not getting rich off this. I think if we were to figure out how many dollars per hour I've made by doing this podcast, it would be more like cents per hour. So don't think that I'm just chilling trying to get your money or to get advertising money by getting you guys to listen. But the more money I do make off of this, the more I can justify spending more time making this a better podcast. So thank you again, guys, for all that you do, for listening, for leaving reviews, for interacting on Twitter, for sending emails. I love that stuff. Keep it coming. I want to keep this podcast going as long as I can financially. So thank you, guys. I'll be back again tomorrow with episode 88.